May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Read a few verses to you. This is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we do see him who has been made for a little while lower than the angels, namely Jesus, because of the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and that by the grace of God he might taste death for everything. Not just for everyone, but the language there is for everything. This is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. For in the case of those who have been once enlightened, and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and have been made partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God, and have tasted the powers of the age to come. Read a few more, then hopefully I can string it all together so it makes sense. This is verse 18 of Colossians 1. He is also the head of the body of the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in everything. It was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. There's never going to find fulfillment or fullness anywhere else apart from him. And through him to reconcile all things to himself. Not just mankind, but all things to himself, having, past tense, made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. That's not just people. And though you also formerly were alienated and hostile in mind, he's reconciled to you through his body, through his shed blood. I mentioned last week, read a place from 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrection, that the death of Christ represented an end to an old order. And the resurrection of Christ was the resurrection or the beginning of a whole new order. That at the heart of the New Testament message is an announcement that there's a new birth of a whole new humanity and a whole new world. And the process is now spreading. The enemy's fighting tooth and nail. We'll see the full manifestation in the second coming, but it's already begun. The process of renewal, rebirth, all things being made new has already happened. And it says in that place that in Colossians as well as the Hebrews 2:9, that Jesus' death, he didn't just carry all of humanity to the cross with him, which he did. Now, only those who accept him as Lord and Savior get to enter into the good of that. But he carried the whole order, the old order, all of humanity to the cross with him. All of humanity, the fallen mankind, died in Christ at the cross. But that place in Colossians 2:9 and what it said, I read to me Colossians 1 and Hebrews 2:9, is that it's as if the whole world went to the cross in Jesus. And see, that's important because it's the fallen humanity and the fallen world is the place in which the enemy has authority to do the stuff that he does. When Jesus was tempted, Satan offered him all the kingdoms of the world and said, I have authority to give you all this. And Jesus didn't refute him, didn't say you don't really have the authority to do that at all. Jesus simply refused to take it. But what happened at the cross was that whole world order, in terms of its fallen separation from God, and the old humanity was taken out of the way. Interesting what he says in that Colossians 1 passage. He says, for God has made peace with everything, reconciled himself and made peace with everything, both in the heavens and the new earth. Now the process of renewal is happening, but in terms of the separation, that's not there anymore. God's reconciled himself to mankind and the whole order of this world. And so Satan really doesn't have the authority anymore. He acts like he does. but he's a trespasser now. Before he had authority, now he's a trespasser. And a trespasser is somebody who does things on property that no longer belongs to him. He's now a thief. The thief takes what's not theirs. That passage in Hebrews 6:5, it says, "And we have tasted of the power of the ages to come." As Christians, as believers, we're the heralds, we're the proclaimers of this new age, the kingdom of heaven. It's here. It's spreading. One day it'll be fully manifested. We're still fighting the effects of the curse. But we're the ones who not only have voice and are to proclaim and advance the message and advance the kingdom, but he said, we've tasted the power of the ages have come. And because you and I have tasted of it, we carry, we've experienced the first taste, the first fruits of the power of the ages to come, when there is no death, there is no sickness, there is none of those things. We have the authority to release that power here, to manifest that power here. That passage that Bracken read, Jesus said, go announce the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? There's a new order here. Go announce the kingdom and then act like it. Heal the sick. Bring present into the present experience of fallen humanity the powers of the ages to come. Thy will be done on earth now as it is in heaven, which we'll get to know fully and completely. And so connect that all dots to Psalm 37, verse 4. And Psalm 37, verse 4 can relate to a lot of different things, but I want to just relate it to this word that I'm sharing about what burns in your heart. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, I know it, and it's a wonderful way to interpret that scripture, is you just delight yourself in the Lord, whatever it is you desire, he'll give you. And there's really something holy about that. If you're delighting in the Lord, then you're yielded to him, you love him more than anything else, and therefore you're desiring what he desires, and that's true. But maybe it also means is that whatever it is you delight in the most, that's the thing you're going to desire most. Whatever your mind is set on, that's the thing you long for. That's your treasure. Wherever your heart is, there's your treasure is going to be. And so the thing that you find yourself daydreaming about, wishing you had the most priority to you, that's because that's the thing you're delighting in the most. Because it just gets in you. But what if that scripture meant, if you delight yourself in the Lord, he gives you the desires of your heart. Then he gives you the desires of your heart. He gives you the desires of your heart. The desires that are in your heart are the things he gives you, because you've been delighting in him. This is probably a pretty bad job of quoting this, but the statement that one writer said, and he said this, he said, the question isn't so much are you desiring what God desires, the question is what, or with whom are you communicating with? Because if you're in communion with him, you're going to desire what he desires. And you're going to find that to be true in your own life, in your own new humanity, that you find yourself obsessed with desiring to see new creation manifest in every area of your life. For you not to waste your time on this earth, which is very, 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 very short, desiring the things of this world, but desiring the things of the new world, the new creation in your own life, restoration, redemption, transformation. But you also find yourself desiring what he desires about the world around you. See, signs and wonders aren't just something that you either get I kind of like it, I don't kind of like it. Or I like it because there's some people who do it that I like, but some people don't do it. I don't really like what they do. So what? God likes it. And we should be desiring what he desires. to the point to where you're consumed with seeing the people in front of you healed or set free from spiritual stuff. You're consumed to see their body change. You're not content with living because you've tasted of the powers of the ages to come. You know about renewal and transformation, new creation, and you want to see it manifested because you taste, you carry the powers of the ages to come yourself. You're the sign and the wonder of the new creation on this earth. You can give that away. Now, obviously, it's going to flow with greater authority when you're experiencing the power of new creation in your own life, the miracle of transformation in your own life. But you see, something we shared a long time ago is that if you what you desire is a reflection of with who or what you're in communion with, either the devil or God. There are only two kinds of wisdoms, James says. That which is flesh, which is demonic, or God. Then actually, your communion with the Lord, your time alone with Him, is where you and Him, is that the right grammar? He and you, I think that's probably better, He and you actually reimagine the world together. You reimagine your world on the inside. The kingdom of heaven's within you. In prayer, don't you do that? Don't you reimagine your world with Him? Don't you reimagine what it's like, what it would be like, what it was going to be like to not walk in fear or greed or anger or control? Don't you with Him reimagine what it's like to see the people around you get healed and set free, for signs and wonders and miracles to happen? Don't you do that? See, that's what it means. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.